Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning we are going to look at, as you might imagine on this Sunday morning of all Sunday mornings, the resurrection. But I looked at it from the perspective mostly of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're also going to do some cruising through the book of Acts. And we're going to finish off hearing again the passage that you heard this morning from Matthew 28. So if you don't have your Bible handy, go ahead and grab it because we're going to use it quite a bit this morning. The centrality of the resurrection is one of those things that we get a lot in bits and pieces, but I don't know that we get it a lot in bulk. One of the very first things we do in our walk with Christ as we become baptized. And if you look in Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 4, you read, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." When we are baptized, and there's a great deal of symbolism in that act. Before we go under, you are dying to an old life. You are buried in a watery grave. And you are resurrected to walk a new life with Christ because of the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read about the Lord's Supper that we just took, that all communities of Christians partake in. Not all of them as frequently as do we. We take it every single week. And what we are doing, according to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, is it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Well, if the Lord were still dead, he wouldn't be coming again, would he? One of the things we are remembering is that our Lord is coming again. The Lord knew prior to going to the grave that it wasn't a stopping place for him. He was coming back. If you look in the book of John, starting in chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "The Jews then responded to him and said, 'What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?' And Jesus answered to them, 'Destroy this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days.' And they replied, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple and you're going to raise it in 3 days?' But the temple he had spoken of was his body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. And then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken." Now in 1 Corinthians 15, go ahead and flip over there. We're going to be there a while. Paul is concerned. And he says, "Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand." What is that good news? That gospel translates to good news. "I preached it to you when we first got there. By this gospel you are saved, and if you hold firmly to that word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain." Verses 3 and 4 here are pivotal. "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the central importance of what I taught you, that good news. These are the things on which your faith hinges. Paul is concerned. If you look down and just skim down to verse 12, you'll find that there are some brethren in the Corinthian church who are already preaching that there wasn't a resurrection, that there isn't a resurrection. Now, we know that there was an entire group of the Jews, the Sadducees, who don't believe that there is a resurrection. Paul, in Acts chapter 17, gets mocked for preaching the resurrection. And in 2 Timothy, we read about Hymenaeus and Philetus who were teaching that the resurrection had already happened and that everybody who was still here had missed it. And Paul is concerned that there are those in the Corinthian church who are going, oh, okay. And he said, no, y'all are missing this. You can't say, oh, okay to that and still hold on to your faith. There are repercussions to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 19, Paul goes into, well, what actually happens if there is no resurrection? Well, first of all, if there is no resurrection, I lie. Now, there is a kicker, because Paul, of course, had done the original preaching to the Corinthians. And he said, you remember, I came to you and I told you that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Well, now you're believing somebody else preaching to you, saying that there is no resurrection. Well, if they're right, then I'm wrong. Well, here's a thought for you. If I was wrong, your faith is in vain. You need not bother going to church. Paul is concerned. However, in verse 20, Paul declares that Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And if you go back, flip back to the book of Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts. It's the fifth book. Flip back to the book of Acts, starting in chapter 2. We're going to be there for a little while. What I would like you to look at is the first several sermons that were preached while the early church is being formed. And we're going to look just very, very briefly at how central the resurrection was to every single one of those messages. In Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 30, we read where Peter is talking to a group and he's talking about King David. And he says, but he, and that's King David, was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Now flip over to chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 14, and again what we have is Peter talking. And in verse 14 he says, you disown the holy and righteous one, and ask that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. Now flip over to chapter 5, because we're going to start in verse 30. Now Peter is talking, but he's with a group of the other apostles. And he says, the God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given those who obey Him. Flip over to chapter 10. We're still in Acts, chapter 10. And again, we have Peter talking. And he says, we are witnesses of everything He did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed Him by hanging Him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Now flip over to chapter 13. Now this is Paul speaking, not Peter. In verse 30 you read, but God raised him from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, for they are now his witnesses to our people. The book of Acts is longer titled as the book of the Acts of the Apostles. What are they doing to start the early church? What the apostles are doing is preaching the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. If you look in Psalm chapter 16, verse 10, what you will find is that same passage that we started back with in Acts chapter 2. It's David prophesying about the resurrection. We know that the tomb was sealed because the leaders of the temple were already worried about the resurrection that Jesus had prophesied for himself. You learn that in Matthew chapter 27. We learn in Luke chapter 24 that the tomb is empty. Indeed, we learn in John that when Peter and John go into the grave clothes are still laying there. The tomb was empty. After Christ rose from the dead in 1 Corinthians 15, 5 through 8, you learn that he appeared to many witnesses, not just to the apostles. We have over 500. Now we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There are also repercussions to the resurrection if it happened. If Jesus was raised from the dead, Paul says, then my preaching is not in vain. I have declared to you the resurrection of Christ, and that has value to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Believe what? Believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus was resurrected from the dead, then your faith is not in vain. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 tells you that you are saved by faith. Verse 8 says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. Christ dwells in our heart by faith, and we are able to please our God because of our faith. If there was a resurrection, then the apostles are true and honest witnesses of God. Well, if you look in John chapter 16, verse 13, it says that those apostles were guided into all the truth by none other than the Holy Spirit. They confirmed the word by many signs and wonders. The apostles had gifts of healing. Go back and look in the book of Acts and see what they were doing to prove the words that they were preaching to the people. If the resurrection actually did happen, those who have died have not perished in vain. Christ was merely the first to die and be raised, to die no more. If you look in verse 21 to 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read, for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Paul taught that the dead in Christ would rise and rise first. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, we read, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. If the resurrection happened, and we have been baptized into that resurrection for our salvation, then we are not still in our sins. If we look in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, what we read is, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God patiently waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being built, in it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. It's not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If the resurrection actually happened, then we are not most miserable. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, and either way I win. Paul concludes his arguments for the resurrection of the Lord in verse 58 of chapter 15. He says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Stand firm in what? In your belief in the resurrection. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I would like to read again the passage that you heard so ably read this morning for the communion. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to start at the very first verse of Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. And they came to him and clasped his feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, for there they will see me." When we read that passage, because we have that faith in the resurrection, we can react like Peter did in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We have our living hope, we have our new birth, because Christ was resurrected from the dead. We praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, for that resurrection. This morning, if you don't know about the new birth or what that hope is about, in a minute we're going to stand and sing, and there will be brothers who come forward. I will be standing down here. You can make an appointment with us, or we can chat with you right this minute about that living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can do that either as we stand and sing, or you can come chat with me after the services, and I'll be happy to talk with you later. You can do that as we come together and stand and sing.